Thank you all. Okay, tonight we're going to get to we are going to get to exhortation. Now have the intro here. It's going to be our brother Jay Johnson tonight, and he's going to his topic is what is a prophet, and he does not have a scripture reading.
Good evening, everyone, brothers and sisters and friends of the truth. I wanted to start out this evening with a little exercise. And so we have a question up here. What is a baker? Nobody knows. Someone who bakes. Well, listen, when I was in school, I was taught that you cannot define the word with a form of the word you're defining. So, what does it mean to bake? Well, this is what I came up with. What we got? We've got problems. So we got. Okay, it's a person who, right, mixes ingredients necessary to produce breads, cakes, cookies, and so forth, places the mixture in an oven at the right temperature for the right amount of time, because otherwise, you're not a good baker. And then removes the product from the oven to sell and or eat. And just to check this against the definition from the Active Language, it says, a person who makes bread and cakes, especially as a trade. All right, let's just try another one. What is a mechanic? Person who works in a car, right? Just cars?
Machines.
Machines, okay. All right. So, a person who repairs machinery or maintains machinery, and even sometimes builds machine. And again, if we check this with the dictionary, it says a person who repairs and maintains machinery. Now, this is just to get us thinking about things here, because as we've done this little exercise, when asking what is something or other, if it begins with a person who, then we know that the definition will specify what the person does. And thus, the definition described an occupation. So the question that came to my mind is this one. What is a prophet? We use that word all the time. We know who the prophets are. Well, what is a prophet? How do you know someone's a prophet? Merriam-Webster gives us a definition, some of which I thought was interesting and is applicable to the things that we're discussing tonight. Number one, one who utters divinely inspired revelations. Okay, I can go with that. The second one has to do with poets, which I don't think has anything to do with us. Number three, one who foretells future events, a predictor. Number four, an effective or leading spokesman. And the last one has to do with Christian Science, which is not a plurality either here this evening. So, the first thing I think we should do when trying to answer this question is to look at the basic requirements. And so, first of all, we'll look at Numbers 12, verses 6 through 8, as we have it up on the screen here. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you," this, by the way, is the conversation that God has with Moses, Miriam, and Aaron, when Miriam and Aaron decide they're a little too big for their britches. "If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Mouth to mouth, we would probably include speaking with angels, in which case there would be people like Abraham, Lot, Samson's mother, Gideon, Daniel, John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, Mary, and Jesus, and Paul, and maybe others. Along with the basic requirements again, we look at this passage from Isaiah 6, 8 through 11. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I," that being Isaiah, "here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate." So from what we see of these basic requirements, we see that God chooses the individual. God reveals himself in a vision or a dream, or mouth to mouth, as it says. God sends his prophet to a person or group of people or a nation. And God's prophet prophesies or delivers God's message. Now, the prophet's word may include time period, and the prophet's work may be dangerous. But what is a prophet in terms of what do they do? If it's a person who, and then you're describing or defining the prophet, you indicate what it is that they do. Okay, they prophesy. But what's that? What's that about? And is that all they do? One thing is, they may be called by a different name. That is to say, different than a prophet, which would be what? Pardon?
Seer.
Seer. Anything else? This is a passage from 1 Samuel 9:8-9. And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand fourth part of a shekel of silver, that will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer, as was properly mentioned. Now they also may anoint a king. 1 Kings 1:38-39. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Kerethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. We may not have remembered that. I mean, we remember this happened, but we remember that there was a prophet involved. How about this? They may help build God's house. From Ezra, then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. Ezra 5. They kept records. Now, the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah, the prophet, and of Iddo, the seer, concerning genealogies? And there were wars between Rehoboam, Jeroboam, continuing. Also, we have the next chapter, and the rest of the acts of Abijah and his ways and his sayings are written in the story of the prophet of David. They established music in the house of the Lord. From 2 Chronicles 29:25. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord. That would be David. With cymbals, with psalteries, with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad and of the king's seer and Nathan the prophet, for so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. All right, so now we want to look at this aspect, that of testing a prophet. Again, how do we know we have a prophet? Well, Deuteronomy gives us some ways to check the prophet out. From Deuteronomy 13:1-3, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known. Let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Another test is also given in Deuteronomy. In this case, it says, if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? But a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of it. Now, the thing is about prophets, it's a person who, since it's a person who, that means it's a man, and a man can fail. And prophets, unfortunately, often, or not necessarily often, but they can fail. From Isaiah 28:7, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drinks. They are out of the way. Priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They're swallowed up with wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They are in vision. They stumble in judgment. From Isaiah 30, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. And of course, they will do that in some cases. And finally, from Jeremiah 5:31, the prophets prophesy falsely, priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end of it? And it's interesting that the priests bear rule by the means of the prophets prophesying falsely, which gives you an idea of the strength and power that they had among the people. Now, the prophet's message can do several things. He can predict the future. I'll have you do a little looking up yourself this time. 2 Kings 3:13-27. The kings of Israel, Judah, and Edom plan war with Moab, but find themselves and their cattle without source of water even before war begins. Elisha tells them to dig ditches that will fill with water, that they will vanquish the Moabites. All of this predicts the future in 2 Kings 3:13-27. Now we have just a warning. This one is, we have an example of this in 2 Kings 6:8-10. 2 Kings 6:8-10. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. In this case, this is Elisha that is betraying the secret of the Syrians. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. And if you may recall in this story, this is eventually becomes a plot capture. Elisha, since the Syrians find out he's the one that's causing the problems, and it's the time when the host of God appears in Elisha's servant. Now, a prophet's message can also condemn and predict consequences. Example of this, we have in Jeremiah 34, 17. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty. You might remember this particular case is where God had said that they should proclaim liberty to those who had been serviced for 7 years according to the law. And they did. And then they decided they didn't want to do that anymore. So they took people back into service. And so we have this warning. Therefore, thus saith the Lord. This is a condemnation and consequences of it. Ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord, to the sword and to the pestilence and to the famine, and I will make you to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And a prophet's message, among other things, can support and predict blessings. And the example here comes from Ezra. Ezra chapter 6, verse 14. And the elders of the Jews built it, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai and the prophet, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built it and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. So this is a wonderful time in which the prophets are there for the purpose of helping them, supporting the people, helping them go along the right way, even when they were previously discouraged because of the people who were working against them in the land. So, what is the prophet's message to us? I mean, when we look at this, what does it mean? And it could be that we're all wonderfully in love with prophecy of any sort, but not always. And I know people look at prophecy, they'll say, well, the flow of prophecy, what do I need to know that for? It's not relevant to me. It's already stuff that's gone by. Maybe it does in some cases, that might be the case, but if it involves, that is to say, if the fulfilled prophecy involves sin and its consequences, it's always relevant. It's always relevant because of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. They were the bane of the Old Testament, and they are the bane of people today. It's all just the same. How about unfulfilled prophecy? Well, people can think that it's too far into the future or too difficult to know exactly what it is that's being talked about. And so in a sense, it becomes not relevant again. But the question that we should be asking ourselves is, how can we say this? Because unfulfilled prophecy, I mean, when you think about it, the promises that are made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those are promises, but they're prophecy because God has guaranteed it. So it's relevant. And it's our hope. We should be multiplying our talents, awaiting our Lord's return. Because in the end, that's relevant to our own judgment. And then we have end times prophecy as a specific niche. And some people like this a lot. They think it's a challenge to decipher what it is that this meant or whether we are living in the times that are being described. And that's a good thing to do. But we should always remember that it isn't a game. It isn't a spectator sport that we can happily watch play out before our eyes. The end times are already beginning to affect us. The ungodly are everywhere, pushing their ungodly agenda in an attempt to make man in their own image. Now let's turn our thoughts to the New Testament and ask these questions. Are there prophets in the New Testament? Can you think of any? There's John, right? John the Baptist.
Jesus.
And Jesus, right? Because he's the prophet that was to be like Moses. All right, Paul, pondering that. Are there New Testament teachings regarding prophets? And are prophets now an archaic occupation of Old Testament times or what? We know that the basic requirements are the ones we looked at before. And with those basic requirements, obviously God can call upon someone to be a prophet anytime, even now. So of those who are prophets in the New Testament, we have Jesus, John the Baptist, Anna, the prophetess, remember that, at Jesus' birth. Agabus, you remember Agabus? And what was Agabus had a prophecy with regard to whom? All, right? The girdle to whom this belongs will be bound. And the four daughters of Philip, the evangelist, are told in that same chapter where Agabus is, that they prophesy. One of the things, the reference that I have against John the Baptist, I think, is a good one. It's funny because I don't know that John the Baptist ever said he was a prophet, but even when in this particular passage in Matthew 11:9, Jesus said to all the people he was speaking to, "But what when ye hope for to see a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet." And we know, of course, that people were not in a hurry to do anything to John the Baptist because they knew that the people tell us that John the Baptist was a prophet. All right, now. Those are some of the New Testament prophets. So there are some prophets in the New Testament. And there's also this passage, Acts 13, Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon. That was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Petrarch, Saul. And of course, Barnabas went on journeys with Paul. Well, one anyway, personally. Now, regarding New Testament teaching, we have this from 1 Corinthians 14, and actually the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 14 is about prophecy. And you might know that simply because it's about prophecy, and it seems like it's for prophets being a prophet, prophesying. And you wonder, wow. Is that there? Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that he may prophesy. For he that speaketh as in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, albeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. As I said, all of this chapter deals with prophecy compared to other gifts of the Spirit. But we know it's unto edification, unto exhortation, and unto comfort. These are things that we are familiar with. And we don't always look at it in terms of a person that needs to have a direct connection with God. But, of course, we all have a direct connection with God, or we might call it indirect, I guess, but it is definitely through the scriptures. Now, just as sort of looking at the big picture, if you will, we can think this, that God gave his people, that is to say, Abraham's seed, he gave them the law that they might know how to behave before God and with each other. He gave them priests and Levites to show them how those esteemed as the company of firstborn, which, of course, we recall that the Levites were taken instead of all the firstborn. To show them how they were to toil in the Lord, to work for the benefit of Israel, while Israel, in return, would sustain the priests and the Levites with offerings supplied in accordance with God's law. That's, of course, always, as long as things don't go haywire and don't start to sin and therefore fall away from God. Things work well when you're at one with the Lord, but not so much otherwise. He also gave them prophets to warn them, to support and inspire them, to show them the future, or to condemn them. And he gave them kings to unify Israel in worship, in war, in peace, or in effort. Depending on the king. Christ, on the other hand, as we look at this big picture, brought an end to the law and thus an end to priests and the need for the Levitical order. He brought the Word of God. In fact, he was the Word of God made flesh. Now, the Word of God is available to anyone looking for it. You don't have to be a prophet. A prophet teaches, preaches, and evangelizes. And to sort of illustrate this, there are three passages here that I would like us to look at. Here's a couple from the Old Testament. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him. This is the Lord taking the spirit of Moses. And he gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Another example, 1 Samuel 19:23 and 4. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him. Also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all the day and all that night. Wherefore they say, Saul also. Is Saul also among the prophets? So in both of these cases, we have the spirit coming upon an individual or individuals, and the result is that they prophesy. Now, this last one is from the New Testament, Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And take the helm of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God's Spirit is in his word. So filling ourselves with his word fills us with his Spirit. To make us, as Jesus said of John the Baptist, more than a prophet. We preach the word of God, which is the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ.